T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Indeed it is. Tyler Kennedy is on the Nemecolon fan hotline. Nemecolon around every corner creates real life magic for guests. Tyler, brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar on the North Shore. Meet me at Mike's. Tyler, we open with a simple yes or no question today. Penguins, for the first time since 06, are out of playoff position this late in a season, according to Bob Grove. Are they going to get in or not?
Yes.
Why?
You can never count Sid, Gino, and Letang out. They're just too good, and they have the ability to throw the team on their back, and they will if they have to. And, you know, right now I still believe in them. I think their backs are against the wall, and I think maybe that's a good thing for them. I think they need to have that urgency throughout the game, and I think they need a spark. I think the third and fourth line guys right now, they're just vanilla. They need to help. And I believe they will. And I think these games coming up aren't going to be easy, but it's going to be a good, good test for them to see what they got.
Tyler, Sid got cross-checked again in the back of the neck yesterday and no response. You talk about the third and fourth liners. Doesn't somebody have to step up and protect the captain?
Yeah, I was ready to jump on the ice and do something again. That boils my blood when that happens. The guy is world class, unbelievable. The leader does everything for every guy, and a guy gives him a cross check like that, and no one steps in again. That boils my blood, and hopefully it's on the videotape the next day. Kind of calling some guys out, say, hey, we can't let this happen. This guy is, he's our captain. He's our everything.
I mean, if they don't know that by now, I don't think videotape's going to help them. It's either in you to do something or it's not, Tyler. I mean, right? And I don't think enough of these guys, it's in them.
Yeah, you know what? I was actually sitting with Max Talbot at the game, and we were talking about some of the young guys, and we were just talking like, hey, I didn't like when we broke in, we didn't want to fight. We didn't want to run around. But to be honest, you go from making AHL money to NHL money, you'll do anything. And now it just doesn't seem like guys care or willing to do anything to stay up, you know? And I think the game's changing that way. And again, no one likes to do it. I don't think many guys like to do it, but when you see what's on the line, when you see, hey, this is going to be the difference between, you know, staying up or going down. You know, again, when you think of a guy like O'Connor, big, strong, heavy guy, if he doesn't add that to the game or his game, he's just going to be a vanilla, somewhat power forward, you know. And then when you think of guys that played that heavy, powerful game, they add that little bit of chippiness, and he's got to find that to stay up and be a regular up here.
Well, you just mentioned Max Talbot. I'm curious now, what's he up to these days?
He's living in Montreal. Max is Max, crazy man Max. No, he's in for Mario's fantasy camp. Mario's having his fantasy camp this week, and obviously it's unbelievable. All the proceeds go to the Mario Lemieux Foundation and Austin's Playroom, and people come from all over the world, and it's world-class down here right now, and Max is in for that.
How's our good friend Kevin Stevens doing? I hear great things about him. Still the same old Artie, right?
Artie's the best. Artie's the best. I haven't been around Artie too much. I've heard so many good things, but he's doing well. And the first thing I saw Artie, He's just so big. And when you talk about what the Penguins are missing, a guy like Artie, you know, fierce, heavy, a pain in the butt to play against, goes to the hard areas to score. And I think Artie shook my hand. I think he could have, I think he wrapped his hand completely around my hand. His hands are so big. But no, he's doing awesome.
That's like a Caulfield handshake, right?
Oh, yeah. You know what? There's some guys that are skill guys here, and then there's some guys that bring a little different part of the game with Max, Ty Domi, Jay Caulfield, Artie, you know, guys like that. So it's been a lot of fun.
Tyler Kennedy joining us for his weekly spot. It's Uphill Hockey Talk with Tyler Kennedy. It's almost that time for us to feed the need with the Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank. On March 29th, our Giant Eagle Feed the Need Radiothon will be raising money to provide meals for our neighbors in need. Text NEED to 50155 and your donation will provide meals locally, brought to you by Nemacol and Spitzer Toyota, UPMC Life Changing Medicine, and 84 Lumber. All the details at 937thefan.com. Tyler, I'm looking at your entire NHL career here. You had 320 goal seasons, but now I'm looking at your rookie year, 07-08. Do you remember your first goal? I would imagine you do in great detail, yes?
Yes, I do. It was in Long Island. It was, again, one of those spin and shoots that I scored a lot of goals in my career right off the bat doing that. I don't know. I just caught a lot of goalies off guard. And, you know, you're looking for the play up top and you spin and catches kind of everyone off guard. But it was on Long Island. It was a big moment in my life, in my career. Again, growing up, you always had a dream of playing, and once you play, it's that next goal in life would be to score an NHL goal. And when I did that, it was pretty special for me. And obviously, the guys get you the puck, and I actually have, you know, the Penguins do such a good job with this, but they give you the puck in the game sheet that you scored, and I have a plaque. It's really, really cool. But
who was the goalie?
DiPietro.
You're exactly right. I'm looking at the box score right now.
Yep.
Who assisted on your goal?
I honestly
was
it Gary
Roberts there.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what?
One of the guys you were sitting with last night.
Max?
Yes, he got the second assist, and the maniac known as Gary Roberts got the first assist.
Yes. Yes, because what happened was, when I shot, it hit the back bar, it came out right away, and the play was still moving. It went back down the ice, and I didn't have that, like, yay, I scored. You know, it was more of like, guys, it went in, and no one's like, no, I think it hit the crossbar. And I was on the bench, and I literally went to the bench, and they're like, keep playing. And then they end up blowing it down, looking at it, and end up scoring. So it wasn't like a highlight celly where I'm going down the middle of the ice on one knee, giving the old waving the hand, you know. It was more like on the bench giving knucks to the guy, but
so,
again, it was still special.
You had to, it was a review goal? You didn't even get to celebrate it live in the moment?
No, it was a review goal. It was, it kind of, again, I was just excited to score, but yeah, it was a review goal.
Max, I'm calling you Max now.
yeah, that's all right.
That's all right. Tyler, getting back to the playoffs here, I'm curious, other than Sid, and obviously we know what he can do, is the goaltending good enough to get them over Florida with Bobrovsky and certainly over the Islanders with Sorokin, who I think is the best of the three goalies left?
Yeah, you know what? When you think of the other teams, they're starting to push. Florida's starting to find their scoring touch. They're starting to really kind of gain some steam, and they're the ones that scare me. Long Island, they're starting to play better. I think Jari's got better after not last game and two games before where he struggled a lot. Last game, I thought he played pretty good, and I think he's getting just a little bit better after playing pretty bad. So I still think he's a very good goalie when he's playing hot, and I think he's trending in the right direction.
Tyler, we appreciate the time, man. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
There we go.
What a bummer. You get to score your goal, but you don't even get to do the celebration of live.
But he got the puck at least.
But he got the puck.
He got the puck, and he beat Rick DiPietro. That's a pretty good first goal with assists from Gary Roberts and Max Talbot.
What do you think of when you think of Rick DiPietro?
Getting knocked out by Brent Johnson.
One punch, right?
Yep.
Literally knocked out, right? Literally knocked out.
All right, Ron. Well, that was interesting. We've now had two hockey players on today that are pretty much disgusted with the Penguins' lack of response to Sid getting drilled in front of everybody, basically.
You know,
in front of the net.
I love when Ari said, you know, Sid would appreciate doing something. He goes,
yeah,
I know 66 did. Do you think Caulfield would have put up with something like that?
Definitely not.
Do you think Jay would have? I saw Jay again last night before the game. He shook my hand. Those fingers come up to my elbows. He got the biggest hands I've ever seen. I can't even imagine what they would feel like clenched as a fist going into my face.
I'm trying to picture that now myself. It wouldn't
and
feel good.
And he's such a gentle giant, you know. He's such a good person. We'll get him tomorrow talking about these Penguins.
All right, Ron. Well, up next, we have a treat for you. We have a guy who has covered
a cookie surprise?
Well, not really,
although
you might be surprised by it. Isaac Seumalo. Can we say that together, Ron?
Seumalo.
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 Bulls, are you good with that?
Seumalo, yep.
You didn't quite get it. Seumalo.
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 Yeah, Seumalo. He just said Seumalo.
I know.
Yeah, that's because you got it wrong before me. Seumalo.
So why am I going to be surprised?
Somebody who's covered him and who covers the Eagles joins us next. There seems to be some discrepancies. I read today on The Athletic that he was the best guard available in free agency, and the Steelers got him, the best guy out there. There's also some concern about his injury history. Folsy, you had an Eagles fan in the building walk up and say he wasn't that good last year.
Yeah,
is that right?
Something about your funeral, having that guy. I don't know if that's just sour grapes that he's gone.
Oh, my God, that's a hell of a statement, isn't it?
Jeez.
A little bit of an overkill, right?
No pun intended.
I bet he's better than Kevin Dotson.
Maybe. I hope so.
Not setting the bar real high with
that. I like Kevin Dotson. He had penalties.
He's a very nice man, and he's a great guy to talk to.
He also mauls people in the run game, I think.
He had a lot of penalties, though, Joe.
Yeah. So did Herbig.
He said Seumalo was a guy that was kind of insulated. He had Lane Johnson on one side and Jason Kelce on the other side, so it made him look good.
Oh, that's interesting, Folsy.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the man we're having on?
Dave Spadaro. He's an Eagles insider.
That team has broken up a little bit, hasn't it?
A little bit, but they seem to have some pretty good reinforcements on that team. They seem to be built very well. For example, they lost Hargrave, but they drafted the Davis kid that everybody thought the Steelers would get, so there's your ready-made replacement.
They got a replacement for Miles Sanders, right?
Oh, they'll find one the way the Niners do. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
running backs are easy to replace.
Yep. They are.
And then who else? They brought back Kelce. They brought back Fletcher Cox, did they not?
Yes, they did.
Back Bradbury. They brought back another secondary guy.
They lost Gardner Johnson, right?
They did lose him, yeah.
He just signed.
They brought back Slay, right? He was going to leave, and then they brought him back.
By and large, for a team that went to the Super Bowl, I think they've done a pretty good job. Where do they draft in this year's draft? Don't they have a decent draft pick, too, from a trade or something? I can't remember, Ron. Can you look it up while Folsy and I talk to the masses?
I don't even have my computer here.
I understand.
I'd have to get up.
They have the 10th pick in the draft.
Ugh.
They're in great shape.
I'm telling you who to watch out for, and I know the Lions is the Lions. Man, I like their offseason, and they have a bunch of draft choices, too.
Kneecap, it's going to be a different dynamic around him.
He's expected to win now.
Yes, he is.
We're going to get up, and on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off.
He better win now. How did the Eagles wind up with the 10th pick, Ron? And now they haven't taken an edge rusher, Miles Murphy out of Clemson, or Skoronski.
Short arms.
And how about the Steelers going to Iowa? Mike Tomlin,
yeah.
Omar Khan, they're all over. Iowa, what was it? Iowa's Pro Day.
Lucas Van Ness.
Plus, they have an inside linebacker. Plus, they have a corner. They've got a bunch of guys.
Did I read it? Somebody said the Steelers have never drafted somebody high that Tomlin hasn't been at their pro day?
Yeah, there's some kind of stat on that. First round picks. I don't know how far it
goes. Now, Tomlin goes to a lot of pro days.
They're not bashful.
He's a junkie. He goes to
a lot. But apparently never Iowa's. Dale Lally tweeted today that this is like new territory to go out. This is not normal.
He certainly has a big Pittsburgh connection there.
They never hide their interest in these guys.
Kirk Ferentz.
Now, I heard the morning show, guys, it would seem to be a consensus opinion that Lucas Van Ness would be a luxury pick because he's part edge rusher. To me, if I can get somebody who's going to play on my defensive line, I mean, this is a guy who plays tackle and end. They still need a young, dynamic defensive lineman. And if I get the bonus of next time T.J. Watt gets injured, and I hate to say it, but I'm expecting a next time, is that this kid can also double as backup there. So we don't have to hear again how they were 19-0 with Watt and 0-19 without him. I'm all over this pick. Luxury. This is a necessity to get somebody on the defensive line, Ron.
Yeah, that's the one position they really...
Do you agree?
Well, they brought Ogunjobi back, but they need some reinforcements there. Ogunjobi's no kid, and even Cam is going to run out of time sooner or later.
Isn't that what the Marvin Leal is supposed to be?
No, he's the tweener, right?
I don't know what he is. I don't say that insultingly. I'm not sure. But I know Van Ness is a much higher pedigreed player. They're talking about possible 11th pick overall.
Sure.
And he said, I have the ability to play all over the defensive line. Last year I played D tackle. This year a bit more of end. And he's an edge rusher. He's a stud.
I like that.
Plus you got Cam's getting older. I don't know about Leal. I certainly don't know about Loudermilk. Ogunjobi's body has been racked up from head to toe.
It has.
So I think they're going to draft a defensive lineman, and I wouldn't be opposed to him at all. You guys?
Again, this is another lesson that we learned from these playoff teams, is that not only is the offensive line important, but the defensive line is important. Those guys can wreck games.
So now what's your priority? Cornerback?
Best player.
Yeah, me
too. At a position of need.
Cornerback, defensive line, wide receiver, or OT, offensive tackle.
Well, like I said, the best player at any one of those. That's I think they're
in a position
to do that.
What position do you wish the best player was at?
Defensive line.
Okay.
That's where you win Super Bowls, to my way of viewing and thinking. The more defensive linemen you have wrecking offensive game plans, man, that makes up for a lot, including corner and everything else. You got guys wrecking the game up front. Everything else becomes easier.
That's how we'll see Andy Weidel. That's how Philly had so much success last year, the offense and defensive lines, right?
How about you guys for a priority?
I'm all in on the offensive line now. I want the tackle.
Would it matter if it was the 32nd pick?
No.
It wouldn't matter for me defensive line-wise.
No. I'm with you, and 100% best player at any of those positions. I just hope they get the offensive tackle. But 32 would be just fine.
This might be a bad answer, but I feel like it's 1, 1A, and 1B with defensive line, cornerback, and a tackle.
Yeah.
You know, they're all huge needs.
I still think inside linebacker is too.
Well, yeah, but I don't think anybody will be there that you're willing to reach.
Well, you brought in two inside linebackers, though, right?
You brought in two short-term run stoppers, yeah. You didn't bring in anybody to inherit the position long-term or someone who can cover the pass.
Well, that's true.
Plus, they're still said to be looking at guys. They took the kid from Clemson out to dinner last week.
Wouldn't you like to go to dinner with Tomlin? What would that be like to listen to him?
Be great. It would be like Spence and Ben listening to him during the Ben podcast.
Over craft beers and Evan the Chef's cook.
Evan the Chef. I look at Chris Jones. I look at what the Eagles did to get there, even if they didn't win. I look what the Rams did to Cincy. I look what Tampa Bay did to Mahomes. I look what New England did to the Rams, what Denver did to Cam Newton. They destroyed that offensive line, what Seattle did to Peyton Manning. Man, that's where games are won. What the Giants did to wreck. I'm looking back at all these Super Bowls, what they did to wreck the Patriots' undefeated season. More than anything else, that was a game where the defensive line dominated. Nothing else. If you're getting destroyed up front, nothing else. It doesn't matter what else you're doing.
See, that's why I'd like that offensive tackle to prevent you from getting dominated up front.
Yeah.
You know, the guards sound great. You know, they're run guys, they're road graders. I want somebody to protect Pickett's blind side.
So do I, and so do they. I'm convinced that their first two picks are going to be, one of them will be an offensive tackle. I'm convinced of that. Are you?
Yep. I hope so.
Yeah.
I think, and here's another thing. I think they might leave Joey Porter Jr. on the board if he's on the board. I think there's just this assumption that if he's there, they take him. And I think it's more – predicated around, you know, Steeler ties than anything else.
Right.
I think they could absolutely pass him up if he's there.
What if it's Van Ness and it's Porter Jr.?
Man, I hope they take Van Ness. And I love Joey Porter Jr., don't get me wrong. I just want the guy up front. I can make up for average corners up front. I don't know that I can do it
Steelers,
the other way around.
The Steelers did that for years, didn't they? I mean, outside of Mike Taylor, they were all average corners.
Yeah.
No offense to B-Mac, Brian McFadden, who joins us.
Oh, B-Mac, you guys are on the first-name basis.
You hate
Does he call you
that.
Falsey?
That's the only reason why
does
I said
call
that.
Does
you
he call you Falsey?
Yeah,
let's go out to the phone and get to B-Mac.
Ron hates that, Joe.
B-Mac.
Yeah, I mean, that's been their history, really, is to do it up front and then get by with, you know, average to above-average corners in some cases. I like that recipe. All right. Folsey, let's talk to this fine gentleman. What's his name?
D-Spare?
No.
David Spadaro.
He's giving you the nickname. Yeah.
Wait, you know this guy?
No, I don't know him like that.
Can we call him D-Spare?
I totally made that up.
What about Granny and Carts? Huh?
And Horny.
Yeah. Listen to
Hino.
Hino had a big hit last night, didn't he?
Like
a charging Hino. Maybe he'll score one
of these
days.
Oh, you like that horse?
Maybe he'll score
charging Hino.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, Ron, let's go out to the Nemecolon fan hotline. Nemecolon around every corner creates real-life magic for guests, where we find Dave Spadaro from the Eagles Insider Podcast. Dave, we appreciate you joining us, and we're very curious about Isaac Seumalo, if I'm saying his name correctly.
Yeah, you are saying his name correctly, and, you know, he's not going to wow you with anything, but he's not going to make any mistakes either. Very versatile player, tough guy, durable, you know, just a really good player who was instrumental in the Eagles' outstanding offense, run game, proficiency, explosiveness. He will be maybe the least interested person in the media, but and he'll be the quietest guy in the locker room, but he's a darn good football player. Andy Weidel knows what he's doing.
Why would the Eagles let him go? Just salary cap reasons?
Well, you know, they've got to sign the quarterback. They've got to sign their wide receiver. They've got to sign their other left guard. They just signed their two cornerbacks. I mean, the Eagles knew going into this offseason that they would lose some really good players. They have done that. Isaac is one of them. Including he and Miles Sanders and T.J. Edwards and Kaiser White and C.J. Gardner-Johnson and Marcus Epps, and that's just the way of the world in the NFL. You can't keep everybody. That's unfortunate, and Isaac is a good one who's gone away.
Were you surprised at the deal? Do you think it was a good deal for the Steelers at the rate they got him?
Well, I haven't read the contract, so I don't believe in media reports, so I don't know how the contract is structured. At first glance, it seems fair. He's a good football player at a fair number. And
let's say it's $8 million a year.
I don't know the market. That's not my expertise.
Right. Let's say it's $8 million a year. Let's just say that for report's sake. So even if you don't believe it, would that be a good deal for you?
So I don't know what the high end guards make in the NFL. Tell me, what's the highest paid guard in the NFL?
Folsy, you have that off the top of
Come
your
on,
head
Matty,
here? Come on, let's go.
That.
Highest paid guards in the NFL right now.
They don't make tackle money, I know that.
The highest paid guards in the NFL are up around Quentin Nelson makes $20 million, Dave.
Okay, so if you're getting Isaac for $8 million, that's a damn good deal. That would be my read.
What is his health status? Has he not had foot injuries and surgery and all that?
Yeah, he has. But, you know, last year he was fine. He was great. He was a warrior. And there was certainly concern, I think, heading into the season last year about that foot, and wasn't a problem. And so, you know, I think you manage him a little bit. And I don't know how hard the Steelers get after it in practice. The Eagles really avoid as much, you know, certainly, you know, trench warfare, if you will. In training camp and then during the course of the season. It's physical, but it's certainly not like the old school NFL. But certainly there's contact and a lot of violence in the trenches. I mean, all I know is the Eagles are going to miss Isaac. His absence creates a hole. And he's just a very good football player who is much more athletic than you think he is. Extremely versatile. I mean, as a rookie, he played tackle. He could play center. He was actually... The thought was when the Eagles drafted him that he would eventually be a center. He'll be an upgrade for the Pittsburgh Steelers, who get a very, very good offensive lineman. And I would imagine the expectation is that he would play in the interior, and he'll be very tough. He's big enough that, you know, those big nose tackles are not going to bowl him over. You know, one of the great successes with the Eagles has been Jason Kelce, who's considered an undersized center. Well, one of the reasons he's had success is because they've surrounded him with really big offensive guards. And Isaac has played left side, plays right side. Landon Dickerson on the left side. Brandon Brooks, a couple of years ago, 3-time Pro Bowler on the right side. So Isaac provides that inside bulk, that inside, you know, anchor to in today's game to keep Kenny Pickett, to give him an opportunity to stand up and step up in the pocket.
You mentioned Andy Weidel. You sounded like you're a little bit of a fan, are you?
Oh, yeah, very much so. And I think we talked about this before, and I just think that Andy does it the right way. And the Eagles' way has always been to invest in the offensive line, and it's brought them some success. And so I think that's what Andy believes in, and clearly this is an investment in the offensive line and not a flashy signing, but I'm going to take the positive view here that Isaac stays healthy. And if he's on the field, he will be a very, very good football player for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Dave Spadaro, the Eagles Insider Podcast. My friend Folsey tells me Nate Herbig also had an Eagles stint.
Yeah.
What do you think of him, Dave?
Yeah, I think that Nate is a great story. Undrafted guy comes in. Certainly, when you look at him, he doesn't have the prototype offensive lineman body, but he's a good football player with some versatility. I don't know what happened with the Jets last year. I don't know how much he played. With us, it was kind of like a question of, is he a full-time player? Is he going to be just a really good backup, versatile fill in, get you through a game, start a few games kind of player. I'm not sure how the Steelers view him. But in Philly, it was more of, he was more of kind of like a rotational guard to guard kind of player who did his job and did it well and went to New York. And I guess was in search of more playing time. Hard to find that with the Philadelphia Eagles. And so again, Andy knows Nate, probably figures the role for him is right in Pittsburgh. You can never have too much depth, and he will be a very good player for the Steelers in the role. Now, if you're asking him to start 17 games, you know, I don't know what his experience last year was like with the Jets. I didn't follow him last year, so I don't know how Nate did. I would say that as he left Philadelphia, the question would be, if you look at him as a full-time starter, you know, is he really able to play at a high level for 17 games? So I don't know what the role the Steelers have in him, but I would ideally, at least from my experiences with the Eagles, see him as somebody who can be a fifth offensive lineman, fifth or a sixth offensive lineman.
What is the mood in Philadelphia with this team, their losses? I mean, is everybody confident they can get back again? And I imagine everybody's looking to see what happens with Jalen Hurts, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, really, really disappointing after the loss in the Super Bowl, a 10-point lead at halftime, and the defense unable to make stops. And so you recover from that. There's no time in the NFL really to wallow in misery, but it was certainly a devastating defeat. And with the expectation, as Howie Roseman, the general manager, said, this team's going to lose good football players, and that's exactly what's happened. Now, they've been able to retain some good football players as well, but there's certainly some work to do here. The team has two first-round draft picks, number 10 and number 30, six picks overall. So you kind of wonder, is Roseman going to wheel and deal and try to pick up some more volume with draft picks? The offense, other than, you know, really honestly replacing Isaac Seumalo, Miles Sanders, they go out and get Rashad Penny, who's been injury-plagued, but it's been extremely productive. The offense seems to be much more in place than the defense. Certainly the Eagles need some help at safety, still looking for some help at linebacker, always looking for help along the defensive line. But it's a good football team, and Jalen Hurts is certainly, based on 2022, a very, very upper echelon quarterback who's got an incredibly bright future. And yes, the expectation is that this team will sign him to a long-term contract.
Dave, we appreciate the time, man. Thanks for coming on. That was great.
My pleasure, guys. And stay in touch.
Sure will. Dave Spadaro, Eagles Insider Podcast. That was good, Ron. He's very lively, isn't he?
He is very bubbly.
Very bubbly. I like that.
The beginning of that was a little rocky for us, though.
Yeah, what happened there?
I thought we were going to go off the rails.
And Joe asked him about this contract. Yeah. And I don't know guards. I don't know what they make.
He got a little spicy there, but it
I didn't know where we were going at that point.
I thought
it might go off the rails.
Me too. I thought it was going to crumble before our eyes.
Starkey got it back in a hurry on track.
He didn't seem to trust reports of contracts. Maybe he's been a bad experience at one point.
You know, I saw, was it Andrew Brandt in his weekly letter said, you can't believe agents tell the media what they want the media to think. And like these 3-year deals may only be 1 year with options, or you can get out of them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but we always get the info, don't we? These Steeler guys, we always get, though they can get out of that after 1 year. I mean,
right. I'm just telling you what he said. And this guy seems to believe that. I don't believe the reports because they come from the agents. Take it for what it's worth.
Yeah, I do, though.
The teams certainly don't tell you.
Well, the teams don't tell you, but I don't feel like we've been misled on a Steeler contract. In fact, I think we usually get that, hey, they can get out of it after 1 year. Who's right. The guy they just signed? Was it Holcomb? One of those deals. Or Peterson. Peterson, we got every single little detail of that deal.
Well, even guys like Chooks, remember when he signed, they can get out of it if they have to.
I trust at least with Steeler guys. I don't know about league-wide, but I feel like we get good info. Maybe it's we have good reporters around here,
Ron.
That
could be, too.
But I don't distrust that. I don't know about Seumalo's deal. I don't. How much of that is guaranteed? I haven't looked at it closely enough. I just saw it was $8 million a year.
I don't think I've seen it reported anywhere. Maybe I'm missing it.
And you saw the general parameters, right? 3 years, $24 million.
Right. Just not how much guaranteed.
We can do the math of is $8 million a year, right?
I'm sure there are details out there. Why don't you look it up, Folsy? Or I will.
Maddie, how come you didn't have that guard number to your fingertips? You know that you're supposed to do that. Yeah, you're the beat writer.
All right. Here we go with the three-year, $24 million, including $17.5 million guaranteed at signing. There you go.
There it is.
Ron.
There you go.
Now, how many years of that can they get out of that? Plus, there's websites like SpotRack that tell you almost everything you need to know.
I like that site.
That's a great site for Penguin stuff, too, for all that stuff.
For all contracts and all sports.
Cap Friendly is another one, too.
Cap Friendly is very friendly.
It is website. Friendly, especially for hockey.
Top of the hour, Folsy, you have a wheel of football you want to tease
come
to that?
Come one, come all.
I've got coming up next here. A pirate situation that is surprising me. Guess who's back in the discussion for a 40-man roster spot? And also the state of one player who remains very, very curious to me. What do you have coming up top of the hour, Folsy?
I've got one man who's trying to make a comeback. I have one man at the very tippy top who is about to get paid once again. Another guy who says, I am severely underpaid. All that and more
that's
on the
me.
Wheel of football.
That's me.
Well, it's an eternal question as we touch on the Pirates for a minute. How much of what happens in spring training matters when guys are fighting for jobs, and how much of it has already been decided? Jack Suwinski apparently struggling mightily right now at spring training. Mackey just wrote about this for the Post-Gazette, while Kanan Smith in Jigba is actually doing really, really well. The latter is hitting .324 with a .939 OPS, stealing some bases. He's got 7 RBIs. And meanwhile, Suwinski, Ron, is struggling really badly here so far, hitting .222 with 16 strikeouts in 13 games. But Shelty said, tells Mackey, Jack's in a good spot. There's a lot of competition, but there's also a lot going on what you did previously. What do you make of all that?
Well, hasn't Suwinski struck out like half the time he's been up at bat down there? Which was a big problem
in
for
spring
him.
Training?
Yeah.
16 times in 13 games.
Yeah. I mean, which was a big problem for him last year, right?
He'd
hit it far when he hit it, but he didn't hit it all the time.
Right.
Often enough.
I don't really care about strikeouts. Everybody strikes out all the time nowadays, but you better offset that with a good OPS and tons of homers.
Right.
And do you feel the same way?
Yeah, I do. But, I mean, I don't like to see him strike out half of his at-bats. But, you know, he got sent down last year, and then they brought him back. I mean, he has power. There's no doubt. And, I mean, for a while they tried him in center field, right? They were going to move Reynolds to left field because they like Suwinski's defense.
Is that not the plan anymore?
Pardon me?
Is that not the plan anymore?
I think Reynolds has been back in center field in some of the games that I've seen. The guy you're talking about, what's his name? I can't even say.
Njigba.
You know, they probably will send him down to start, I would think.
Well, here's a guy, when Shelty says what you've done in the past matters, in August, Jack Suwinski batted .108.
Right.
In September, I'm sorry, that was that July? In August, he got sent down. And then in September, .193 with 32 strikeouts. Why shouldn't spring training matter? Aren't they competing for jobs?
You would think so.
The other guys won the job in spring training.
But you have always said that it doesn't really matter, that they go in with the plan what they're going to do, right?
Yeah.
I mean, what if Andrew McCutchen goes 0 for 50?
Different.
He's still going to be there.
Way different.
Okay.
Than a guy who has virtually no pedigree as a major leaguer. He's got 19 home runs last year.
He's getting on his bubblegum card.
He's getting outplayed in spring training. That doesn't matter.
And it's a continuation. It's a continuation of how he finished the season, right? I mean, it's not like
that's the other thing.
He finished hot.
If Suwinski hit 19 home runs last year and had played well, Ron, and hit well the whole year, then he does have a pedigree.
Right. He doesn't have anything on his bubblegum card.
Well, he does have the 19 homers, but it's how he got them.
Right.
It's how he got the home runs that matters. And it's what happened to him the second half of the season that matters to me. I think there, if you're going to have competitions, then have a competition.
See, this is where I say, you know, find a way to get these guys both on the roster to start the year. Put them both on the major league roster.
Well, you might have that.
You know,
you might.
If you play them both, see who's playing better and continue to roll with that.
Yeah, but you only have so many roster spots.
Well, I mean, who, okay, is it really that jammed up? Who else is going to make the major league roster in the outfield?
Well, they got about 19 guys at first base. You know, some of those guys are going to have to make it, right?
Guess who else is in the discussion, Mackey says, to make the 40-man roster? Mr. Miguel Andujar.
He hit, I think it was
He's
him.
Here. He's
he
not. He's here. He's not.
He might be here.
Never mind. Never mind. Never mind. Never mind.
He might be here.
I think it was him yesterday. He hit a bomb to left field.
There's nothing like walking up the hall, though, like I did yesterday and hearing Joe Block say, it's a great day for baseball. It's we're getting close. The opener is a week from Friday in Cincinnati.
It is.
A week
exactly right.
From Friday. And the home opener 2 weeks from Friday.
Very, very curious situation. I think you should be able to win a spot in spring training myself if you're batting. This guy in his last nine games is up to .417 with seven RBIs. It's one thing if he was coming out of single A, but he's knocking on the door.
But I think it does. What factors in, Joe, is when did he get these hits early on? Who is he facing? Is he facing double A, triple A pitchers? Is he doing it now when he's seeing major league pitchers? You know what I mean? Sometimes the timing of it.
Sure.
Is.
But then why have a competition, though? Who's Sawinski batting .222 against?
Same deal, yeah.
Well, what about Travis Swaggerty? He's hitting .379 in spring. Can he earn a job?
I guess not.
I don't think so.
I guess not.
By the way, Andujar is a sparkling .188 in spring training.
I know, but Mackey says he's been hitting lately, and he has a chance to make the 40-man.
I mean, I believe Mackey. I'm just saying. It's not like this guy is.
I didn't say he was tearing it up. You know what else is happening? Is Castro's at .214. Does it matter or doesn't it matter?
I don't know.
Why even report their stats then if it doesn't matter? And who's he competing with? Who's the other second baseman, Fulzy? I can't remember.
I mean, Bay's there.
That's who he's battling.
But Bay was playing the outfield yesterday, so.
I don't know. I don't know what to say about that. I guess spring
Castro's
training doesn't.
Castro's going to win the job.
You sure about that?
I think so.
I think so, too.
All right.
Again, based on last year, right?
I don't know.
You would think.
I don't know if it's based on last year. Mackey says it's a rock fight at second base involving Rodolfo Castro and Jiwon Bae. I consider that to be a competition. Is it already decided, or are they watching the games, or don't the games matter? Or as Ron says, do you have to weigh who they're facing in the games?
Maybe that is a true competition, maybe. I've had Castro penciled in that lineup all along, though. But that's just me. I'm not Shelty.
Yeah. I mean, did he do enough last year to pencil himself into a lineup with no competition?
Well, I thought he was head and shoulders the favorite going into it. But that doesn't mean somebody couldn't sneak up on him. But, I mean, I'm still guessing he might be my leadoff hitter.
Could be. But he did hit .233 last year. And he struck out 74 times in 250 at-bats. So, I don't know. Is that a leadoff hitter? I don't know.
How many home runs did he hit?
11.
Yeah.
Don't have a leadoff hitter.
I thought that was a battle because
they've been hitting
G-Wan
Cruz.
Bay.
Cruz has been batting first, right?
He batted.
What are Cruz's numbers down there?
I don't know. I don't know what they are. Fulzy, you're the beat writer. Can you look them up?
I knew that was coming.
Fulzy has a wheel of football coming up. I guess the overarching philosophical question is, can you win a spot in spring training? Should you be able to win a spot? I say yes, you should be able to. Not over Brian Reynolds. I don't care if he hits .010, obviously. But two young guys? Why not?
I would agree.
There were two instances, I think, of a guy winning a spot out of spring training I can remember. Craig Monroe was one, and he flamed out. It was bad. And then there was a pitcher.
I don't even remember.
Somebody
Craig
won
Monroe.
One last year out of spring training. Diego Castillo won a spot out of spring training last year and didn't work out.
It rarely does.
To say the least.
There was Juan Nicasio.
The least.
Juan Nicasio won a spot in the rotation coming out of spring training, and it did not go well.
That didn't work well.
I bet you I could come up with guys who did win jobs in spring training, sure. And it did go well.
Sure.
I just can't at the moment.
I think Nicasio was pretty good out of the bullpen, though.
Especially when they gave him to the Cardinals for money.
Yes, they did. Just gave it to him. Here, you want Juan Nicasio? Here you go.
And then he beat them in the first game for the Cardinals. Remember that? Yep. Brouhaha?
The brouhaha.
You got a Wheel of Football coming up, Folsy?
Yes,
what?
I
come
do.
Come one, come all.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.